The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down at the well, and it was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food, but the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For the Jews had nothing in common with Samaritans. But Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go call your husband and come back." But the woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, is already here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work."
Give us living water. Give us living water.
Give us living
water. Give us living water.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. More and more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I get a lot of input about where exactly to stand when I'm giving a homily. Some people say you should be up on the ambo. Other people say no, they'd like me in the middle. And then some people, they can't see me at the back. So maybe I'll stand up a little bit higher here, and let's see what comments will come back to me. This is fine. There is a well in Samaria near a town called Nablus, which is a Palestinian stronghold in the West Bank area. You read a lot about the West Bank. You can move a synagogue, you can move a church, but you can't move a well. And Jacob's well is very well confirmed in archaeology and in biblical studies to be the actual well which appears here in our narrative from the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John. The well is about 70 feet deep, and there's a church built over it, the Church of St. Fontina. The Greek Orthodox call her St. Fotina. We know very little about her. There's an apocryphal history saying that she went to Egypt and she died in Asia Minor. She was a martyr, but that's not reliable. We know very little about her. And that's important because she's not a person. She represents all women. And that becomes an important teaching in our understanding of John here in chapter 4. By the way, when we go there, with many, many pilgrims here have been to the well, I always have the men stand back, let the woman put the bucket down 70 feet and haul it up, and you can drink the same water from the same well spoken about here in the Gospel of John. It's a very mystical place. There are many, many teachings in this section of John's Gospel, and it was used appropriately in the very early church during this time of the year when those who were becoming Christians were preparing for their baptism. And so you have many, many elements of teaching in here. The living water, food, those who worship in truth and in spirit, not the place, Jerusalem, or not in Samaria, but those who worship in spirit and in truth. The hour is here. It's the time of the harvest. Don't look to the future. The power of God and the grace of God is in the moment. All these teachings are in there. In order to understand the full impact of this, we should take a quick look at the history of the Samaritans and the Jews. It goes back to the time of Solomon, 700 years before Christ. When Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided, and there begins a division which will last and find it will mutate into the Samaritans and the Jews. Eventually, the Samaritans will intermarry with outsiders, with pagans, and therefore the Jews will consider them half-breeds, people of lesser social or religious value. They will be put down, judged, set aside. They are outsiders to the Jews. But Jesus is very partial to Samaritans. You will remember in Luke chapter 10, you have the Good Samaritan, that story. And then in Luke chapter 17, you have very interesting story. Jesus heals 10 lepers, and only one comes back to thank him, and that person is a Samaritan. So Jesus tends to be very open to Samaritans. He initiates the conversation with the Samaritan woman. That's curious in itself. Why is this woman there at noon by herself? Water was not drawn at noon. It was drawn in the morning and the evening. It was too hot in the middle of the day to go drawing water. But she's there and she's by herself. Was she a social outcast? Was she searching for something? Was it divine providence that brought her somehow to this encounter with Jesus Christ? Something that we shouldn't try to explain. But there she was at the well. And Jesus, in a scandalous way, initiates a conversation with a Samaritan, and most of all, with a Samaritan woman. He breaks all the canons of the social order when he does that. And then they begin to speak. And we have this growing thing. She said, I can see you are a Jew, and then you're a prophet, and then maybe you're the Messiah. Maybe you're the one we've been waiting for. We'll come upon this again when we come to the 9th chapter of John's Gospel about the man who is blind. There are many, many teachings here, but I just want to focus on one. And that is, she says, maybe he is the Messiah because he told me everything about myself. Married 5 times, now living with a man who is not her husband. I'm not sure how that would fit into canon law. I mean, if somebody showed up here married 5 times and living with a man who is not her husband, would we have a place for her in this community? Would we make a judgment? Would she belong to the community? Could she go to communion? Ooh. Jesus makes no judgment. Astounding. Makes no judgment. He can see what others cannot see. He can see her searching, her questioning, the confusion of her life, and he accepts her just as she is. And her faith grows because she is accepted. She doesn't have to merit something. She doesn't have to prove something. Somehow, the infinite love of God embraces the outsider, the alien, the undocumented woman who doesn't belong to the proper society, the Jewish tradition, the sinner, the outcast, the pejorative woman in the culture of the time. And because Jesus accepts her as she is, goodness emerges and she becomes the first one to evangelize the Messiah. Ever before the apostles went and preached, the woman was the first one to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one who is to come. Rather interesting. I mean, when we're speaking about whether women can be the ones to proclaim or celebrate or belong or lead, here we have an example in the mystical Gospel of John about a woman who we consider unworthy. And somehow, by the grace of God, she is accepted by Jesus just as she is. Now, you'll find this. You go through the Gospels and read the proclamation of God's presence in Jesus Christ. You'll find it over and over again. We mentioned the Good Samaritan. We mentioned the lepers who didn't deserve. Look at the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel, the thief on the cross. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus doesn't say, well, what commandments did you break, and do you belong? Are you worthy? He said, this day, hey, just turn to the Lord. This day you will be with me in paradise. What does this mean to us? What does it mean to us as a church? What does it mean to us as a community, as a family? We have people who are not worthy to belong to our families. We have people who are not worthy to belong to our communities. They don't fit. They don't look right. Their color is wrong. Their origin is wrong. They just don't fit. And yet, to evangelize in the power of Jesus Christ, we have to somehow give even a human expression of the infinite love that God has for all people. So who in your life is the Samaritan woman, the outsider, the person who does not meet your expectations, the one who is a little bit different, who doesn't fit? And this person, in God's mysterious providence, may be the first one to proclaim the true image of Jesus as Messiah, the one who accepted me the way I am. I remember about 20 years ago, when I was being evangelized by the people of Holy Family, and I had come out of a bureaucracy for 20 years where I was canonical and institutional in all my thinking. We were in the old rectory here, and one day this couple came in to see me, and they said, we've gone to 3 different parishes. We want to get married, but the minute we tell our story, the parish priest said, stop, I don't want to see, go away. So somebody said, come to Holy Family. Well, they sat down in my office over here, and this young woman, I'll call her Mary, she was 26 years old, a Catholic, from San Francisco, never married before. She was in love with this man, we'll call him Bill, who was 40 years old. And he was not a Catholic. He said, I have no religion. She said, I've never been married before. The church is very important to me, and I must get married in the church. That's the only way. I'm an only child. My parents live in San Francisco. And then Bill says, Father, I have no religion. I don't care about religion. I just love this woman. I want to marry her. She wants to get married in the church. I want to get married in the church. So wonderful. What he said, I've been married before. Okay. Then he said, actually, I've been married more than once before. Okay, I promised them I'd listen to them, so I'm listening very attentively. And then he said, I've been married before 7 times. Now listen, just listen. That's the first reaction. I mean, truly. She went to other parishes and said, go away, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm listening. There's a place in the kingdom for them. And we talked, and I said, now I want you to go to this psychologist who is a parishioner, I want you to go together for 3 months. Then have that doctor write a letter to me saying, is this a high value or a low value relationship? Are you willing to do that? And they said, we are, but we can't. Why not? He said, because we haven't a dime. He said, we live in one room in Monterey Park. I have a menial job. We have no money. We do it, but we can't afford it. I said, you're important. The parish will pay. Of course, we got a deal from the guy, but anyway, that's another story. But the parish will pay. If the parish will pay, we'll go. Well, they went. And the rest is a long story. But I'll tell you, eventually they got married, and they are still married. And that's 20 years ago. And they got married, and they belong to a faith community today because somebody listened. It wasn't my virtue, believe me. You listen because you are a sinner yourself. You listen because you're a broken person. You listen because you're a human. When you lose touch with your own weakness, you will stand in imperious judgment. You will set people aside. You will put people down. You'll discriminate against people because you have not faced your own humanity. And God appears to us in the humanity and the power of Jesus Christ. So let this gospel go forth into your life today. Love somebody who is outside. Accept somebody who didn't belong before. Forgive somebody who has offended you. Embrace somebody who doesn't fit. And let this gospel of Jesus Christ come alive. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.